So my guest today is Joanne Hardesty, president of the Portland branch of the NAACP. Joanne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us by phone to help us to understand the implications of this, really a raft of documents that were released just on Friday and that are coming up for a vote this coming Thursday at 3 p.m. So can you tell us a little bit about the implications of these documents and maybe also a little bit about the process and timing of their release so quickly before the city council potentially moves to a vote on Thursday?
Well, this seems to be a consistent record with Portland City Council, which is to release hundreds of pages of documents that the public is supposed to digest almost overnight and be able to have intelligent conversation on. So I think there are three really big fundamental changes that are being proposed to the settlement agreement between the Department of Justice and the City of Portland as it relates to Portland Police. Now, the big one is that our last mayor, Charlie Hales, patted himself on the back and when he got rid of the 48-hour rule, when he paid a small fortune to get rid of the 48-hour rule. Your audience may not remember, but the 48-hour rule gave police officers who killed someone in the line of duty 48 hours to calm down enough to be able to articulate what happened in that incident. Now, the DA, the Department of Justice, and the City of Portland attorneys have been meeting behind closed doors since March and came out with a proposal, a policy recommendation that says that police officers should not have to give any written report of a death in custody until after the grand jury process has been concluded. Now, our DA, Rod Underhill, says this is necessary because if a police officer was going to be charged, if they had been compelled to testify ahead of time, they would not be able to charge them. And I would answer that with, there's only been one time in the history of Portland Police Bureau that an officer has been charged in the shooting of an unarmed community member. Only once in the whole history. And so it is a fake argument to put into law that basically police don't have to say anything after they kill a community member until after the grand jury process. And we know the grand jury process almost 100% of the time clears police officers, even when they kill someone running away and they shoot them in the back, they're always cleared by the grand jury. So what this means for the public is that no accountability police kill people in our community. So that's the one big piece. The other big piece is the settlement agreement actually required a community oversight body to make sure that the changes that were proposed by the settlement agreement were truly being implemented by Portland Police Bureau. And again, behind closed doors, the city attorneys and the Department of Justice and the Portland Police Association have come up with this convoluted plan to replace the Community Oversight Advisory Board with what really amounts to a PR group appointed solely by the mayor to provide, supposedly to create better community police relations. That is not what we need when we're spending tens of millions of dollars to reform Portland police practices and patterns of behavior.
So as I understand it, the COAB, as it's currently been configured, allowed each city council person the appointment of a representative and then 10 other positions that would basically be screened and appointed or nominated by community members versus this new iteration of a 5 to 9 member committee, all of which would be appointed by the mayor.
Absolutely. So in the original concept of the Community Oversight Advisory Board, the Human Rights Commission had 5 appointees. So between the Human Rights Commission and the Disability Rights Commission, they identified 5 people who would serve on the Community Oversight Advisory Board. 5 people were identified by a community panel of community members. 5 non-voting members were appointed by Portland Police Bureau. and five, as you said, were appointed by the city council. I'm really troubled that the entire city council is on the hook for the millions of dollars we're spending on reform, yet this new proposal puts the mayor alone in the driver's seat. Now, and you can either like or dislike the current mayor, but in my view, that is too much power in the hands of one individual who really hasn't shown that he is capable of reforming Portland Police Bureau.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that even the DOJ's press release heralding the 2014 agreement noted the significance of the COAB as a kind of what it describes as a crucial mechanism for civil engagement in the reform process. And it's precisely that mechanism that's really being undermined and weakened by this new iteration.
Well, quite frankly, being gutted, because nothing in this new reiteration gives them authority to review any changes that are proposed based on the community oversight community liaison, who you might remember is the very overpaid Chicago consultant that does drive-by review of whether or not Portland Police Bureau is really fundamentally changing their pattern and practices. And so we are still paying this consultant from Chicago $250,000 a year. He's now doesn't even have a community oversight board to report to, and that's been since January. So here we are almost in August, and what the mayor is telling the city council is they have to do this because otherwise they're out of compliance with the settlement agreement. And my response to that is hogwash, because when the judge told them they were out of compliance last October, the city decided to sue the judge to say he didn't have authority to demand they come back and report on how they were going to get back into compliance. And it was interesting because the community group was smart enough to actually appoint alternates. The city council wasn't smart enough to appoint alternates. So when their people resigned or took new positions, they did not replace those people. So that's why since January, there has been absolutely no community oversight of any settlement agreement policies and recommendations.
And so you're saying also that there's been closed-door meetings that lasted from March to July, and all of a sudden we're getting these documents released on the Friday and the push to vote on those by Thursday in the wake of that kind of months of basically delay in closed-door meetings.
Exactly right. And I am so profoundly, you know, maybe this is what happens under Sessions Department of Justice, but I'm pretty appalled to think that our mayor and the city attorneys would go along with this. Why would the mayor take the advice of Rod Underhill? They are both duly elected leaders. And if the mayor really wanted to hold police accountable, he would reject Rod Underhill's advice that police officers can't give a statement until after they've been cleared by the grand jury. I mean, that is unacceptable in a community that's demanding police officers treat everyone the same. And we certainly don't have that today, and it will definitely not be possible under the proposed changes that will be in front of the city council on Thursday.
So it sounds like there's a kind of a pattern here, both in terms of the timing of the release of the documents, the lack of community input, and then the basic kind of attack on the whole framework of the COAB.
Yeah, and in fact, some of the documents imply that the community was involved in criminal behavior. So basically, we can't trust the community to know what's in the best interest of reforming Portland Police. I totally reject that premise. It is absolutely an insult to activists who, A, call the Department of Justice to Portland because the city council refused to act when police were continually using excessive force against community members. And so as part of the community group, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, who invited the Department of Justice to town, I feel like they have just basically disregarded and cut out community oversight and community accountability. I mean, if this passes, what it means is the police force will have free rein to do whatever they want in any community with no accountability whatsoever. And that cannot stand. One other thing I wanted to mention in this new reiteration, They don't even mention the racial profiling reports and actually collecting data on who is being stopped, who is being searched. That was a key component of the settlement agreement that was supposed to be overseen by the Community Police Relations Committee, which was a subcommittee of the Human Rights Commission. But that group has not been active since the settlement agreement was adopted. And so rather than talk about how we're going to get the new data and get annual reports on who's being stopped, the report just eliminates that requirement. The new settlement agreement just eliminates that requirement.
Okay, yeah, so we're really seeing a very significant weakening of the overall oversight. Can you talk a little bit more about the accusations of criminal behavior by the community included in these documents?
I was amazed to read in the documents that are in front of the city council that one of the reasons for this change is that somehow the community was out of control when the Community Oversight Advisory Boards met in public. This new reiteration would have most of their meetings behind closed doors. So they would not even have to follow open meetings laws. And that's why they're trying to put it together this way. So basically, it would be just an advisory group for the mayor.
Okay,
why does the mayor need his own PR group to make the police look better?
Okay,
what will make the police look better will be to demilitarize them, which is what the mayor promised when he was running for mayor. What would make them better would be to make sure that when they show up at protests, they don't show up in riot gear and show up looking like they're headed to a war zone. That would be a big improvement. But nothing that's being proposed by the DOJ in the city of Portland would give any community member confidence that we're going to be able to have oversight on what's going on within the police bureau.
So I understand that this new PCCEP, the kind of new alternative to the COAB, would have quarterly public meetings and then twice monthly closed door meetings. So out of a total of, 28 meetings out of the year, only four of those would be accessible
public.
To the public.
Right. And if you look at what their charge is basically just to figure out how to make the place look good. We don't need a volunteer community group to try to make the police look good. The police have PR people to do that already. And so I think this is just a smack in the face of people who want real change, who want a leader that's going to hold police accountable for how they treat all community members. And this is not reflected in these documents at all. In fact, this is going backwards. Who would have known that Mayor Wheeler would actually be more egregious around policing than the former mayor, Charlie Hales? I thought we couldn't get any worse than Charlie Hales when it came to holding police accountable, but I'm starting to think that Mayor Wheeler is going to be far worse because clearly he has sided with the community's the problem and not the police.
Okay. And can you just tell me, are the documents that you referenced, all these documents that were released on Friday, are they available online anywhere right now?
Yes, they are. So if you go to the city clerk's website, all those documents, if you go to the city council agenda website, if you just put that into your search engine, all those documents are available online now. And I mean, there are hundreds of pages, and that's part of how they ram through changes that the public doesn't understand, overwhelm people with a lot of paperwork so that they don't take the time to really read it in detail. But they should know that the community activists have been reading these documents for the last 5 years. So we're very familiar with what was in the original settlement agreement and what the proposed changes are that are being proposed by the city, well, quite frankly, by the mayor and by the Department of Justice and the Portland Police Association. Now, they were paid off with a 9% pay raise to get rid of the 48-hour rule. Does that mean that they're going to have their pay reduced since the 48-hour rule no longer, since now, they don't have to give a statement at all? The Department of Justice in the original settlement agreement required police to file an after-action report the day of the incident. And so the Department of Justice is backing way, way, way back from their mandate that police officers write a written report the day of the incident.
Okay, and so presumably, though, any votes that the city council takes on these documents will still have to be approved by the DOJ?
Well, the DOJ has already signed off on them.
Okay.
The DOJ thinks this is a great thing. This is a different DOJ, because the DOJ, mm-hmm. under the last presidential administration, would never have signed off on a ludicrous proposal like this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very concerned that, you know, I thought this DOJ wasn't the DOJ of my childhood, but this one certainly does not reflect the wants or desires of the community.
So we're really getting the impact of the Trump DOJ, and
yes,
the city seems to be maximizing that opportunity to roll back any kind of progress.
I think this is Jeff Sessions' fingerprints are all over this so-called agreement, because there's no... normal people would never accept. But that's like me saying, I'm not going to talk to a police officer until I've gone in front of a grand jury and made my case to the grand jury. Mm-hmm. Now, if community members don't have that option, why would we give that to police?
Right. Yeah. So I just want to remind people that the hearing is at 3 p.m. this coming Thursday. So all of these documents have just been released on Friday, and the hearing is coming up on Thursday. So it's critically important to have a strong community showing. And I also just want to mention that an earlier interview that I did with Dan Handelman from Portland Cop Watch will be available alongside the audio of this interview with Joanne Hardesty of the Portland branch of the NAACP. And those will be put up in the next, hopefully the next 24 hours, so that people can also hear the analysis of Portland Cop Watch. So, Joanne, I really want to thank you so much for speaking with me today.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much for the call. And I think the best thing that can happen is that we overflow the city council chambers, and that we make sure that the phone lines are ringing off the hook in opposition to these proposals, because this is not in the best interest of people in the city of Portland. And it certainly isn't about justice. It's about hiding from justice. And so I hope that the city council rejects this proposal, and that we put enough pressure on them to make them do so. So thank you.
Okay, thanks so much.
Have a good day.
You too.